Sunlight crests the Earth's surface as it rotates in the Milky Way. Giant gold letters revolve around the planet, spelling Universal. As the Americas swivel by on the face of the blue globe, more words appear below. An MCA company. Titles appear. Universal Pictures presents an Interscope Communications production. A Francis Weber film. Matthew Broderick, Out on a Limb. At Mortville Elementary School, a teacher addresses her class.
Okay, find a seat. Sit down, please. My name is Miss Clayton, and I'm your new teacher. And since today's our first day together, I think we should get to know one another. So I'm going to ask each of you to tell us about your summer vacation. Who wants to start?
No one seems particularly keen to get the ball rolling.
What's your name?
Priscilla Johnson.
Well, you want to tell us about your vacation, Priscilla?
I got measles.
Oh, the measles, that's too bad. Was that at the beginning of the vacation or at the end?
The beginning.
Well, good. Then you had all of August to rest up. What did you do in August?
I got the mumps.
You didn't?
I did. But it was okay. It was a neat vacation with lots of presents. And everyone was very nice to me.
Oh, good.
Except Daddy got kind of nervous when he got the mumps. But aside from that, it was great.
Is that all?
Isn't that enough?
Sure. Yes. Thanks, Priscilla. And what's your name?
Elliot Field.
Go ahead, Elliot. We're listening.
I went to summer camp.
Okay. What'd you do at summer camp?
We threw cottage cheese at each other.
And then what?
Ketchup.
And aside from having food fights, did you do anything interesting?
No, but that was interesting.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Elliot. And let's see. What's your name?
Marcy Campbell.
Tell us about your vacation, Marcy.
Well, during my vacation, my brother lost his job, my mom almost lost her mind, and my stepfather was murdered by his twin brother.
What kind of story is that, Marcy?
It's not a story, it's the truth. It happened in Buzzsaw, and that's a little town up north. My stepfather was the mayor.
I don't remember any story about a mayor being murdered by his twin brother. Okay, Marcy, go ahead, tell your story. We're listening.
It was a dark night. Actually, it was a dark and stormy night. A big truck came to my stepfather's lumber yard. A very big truck.
The truck pulls up in pouring rain.
And in the truck was a killer. His name was Matt Skurds. He was very tall like my stepfather, and very ugly like my stepfather. And he couldn't see without his glasses like my stepfather. But that was normal, because he was his twin brother.
Fair-haired Matt Skurds puts on his thick round glasses and makes his way into Buzzsaw. Then looks up at a statue of a lumberjack holding up a circular saw blade.
Matt Skurns had come back to town to get his revenge. He'd been in jail for 15 years for a crime he didn't commit. So you can imagine how mad he was.
After yelling at the statue, Matt walks on.
Matt had an accomplice, Virgil. A man he met in prison. Virgil was mean, too, but not as mean as Matt.
Yo, Four Eyes. You're late, Four Eyes.
Don't call me that.
So, now the boys in the joint.
They don't miss me. They sure as hell don't miss you.
Now, here's the phone number. And the name is Vanderhaven. Mayor Vanderhaven.
Virgil hands Matt a package.
Good luck. I'll meet you tomorrow night.
The package contains a revolver.
I couldn't sleep because of the storm. So I was relaxing and watching a funny movie on TV when the phone rang.
Marcy is watching The Wolfman. The phone wakes her parents, Peter and Anne, in their bedroom.
Hello? Mayor Vanderhaven? Who's calling? Who is this? Hiya, Petey. Hold on.
Hearing her stepfather walking into the hall, Marcy switches off the TV and listens in to his conversation.
Matt, how nice to hear from you after all these years.
I want $150,000 tomorrow. That's all in my yard.
$150,000?
Okay. Get your goddamn money, you little shit. Just keep appealing for a bargain. And if I ever see you or hear from you again, I'll personally kill you. Understand? Kill you.
Peter hears Marcy and spins around. He's identical to Matt.
That night, I discovered that my stepfather, who everybody thought was so honest and so respectable, wasn't the man he pretended to be.
Marcy has hidden, and Peter doesn't see her as he looks around the living room.
That night, I discovered that my stepfather was a criminal.
As Peter heads for the stairs, Marcy looks out from her hiding place. In the classroom...
Aren't you watching too many horror movies, Marcy?
No, why?
Well, one thing's for sure, you have a very active imagination.
This isn't imagination, it's the truth.
Are there any comments? Yes?
It may be too soon to judge, but I have to say, I'm really not convinced. It's so overstated, so melodramatic.
I'm sorry, Julius, I disagree. So far, it works for me. It's the most outrageous summer vacation I've heard in years. Should I go on?
Yeah!
Go ahead, Marcy.
I needed help. I needed it fast. Only one person to turn to. My big brother, Bill.
Book on Ecotech, please.
Right. ARB put in an offer of $200,000
Tell him it's going to get done at 75 with or without him.
All right. Odds for 100.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Damn, every time. Evens for 200. You read minds.
It's a question of reorientation, Steve. I know what you're going to do before you know what you're going to do.
Documents are being shredded.
Jerry Beck had a heart attack last night.
My God, he's only 36.
34. No time for condolences. You're taking over Daisy's cellular deal. Background. 2 days ago, Daisy's CEO, Leonard Hathaway, dropped dead. Controlling stock slipped into hands of Julie Holland, niece. Must sell. Jerry was to meet today. Decided to have heart attack instead. Such poor judgment will cost, Jerry. You will take this meeting.
How much me offer?
160 million ceiling. I want it bad. Really bad. Watch out. Travis of Travis Jacoby and Travis is doing the legal.
The elder Travis?
Yes. Count Dracula himself. Big bonus if you win.
Bill has dinner with Travis and Julie Holland.
Let's play poker. I got a figure in the back of my mind. Let's see how close you can get to it.
100 million.
If we auctioned that offer, it'd get done at 175.
Maybe 5 years ago. Not with a market this unstable.
160.
110.
Excuse me, Mr. Travis. Telephone call for you.
Excuse me.
Travis goes and Bill turns to Julie.
It's too bad we have to go through all this. It's just gonna get done at 140.
How's that?
Travis is gonna come back in here. He's gonna say that the two of you have to go somewhere. That's supposed to make me think he's got another offer. Watch this.
Travis comes back.
I'm terribly sorry, but something important has come up. Julie.
Julie looks over at Bill as Travis puts his coat on. Bill remains staring at Travis.
I'd be willing to go 155.
120.
You know there are 100 strategic buyers in Tokyo who'll do this for 150.
I've got a figure in the back of my mind. And you haven't even come close to it yet.
Well, young man, you drive a hard bargain. 140 million then, eh?
I can live with that.
Bravo, bravo. Very impressive, Bill. I almost forgot it was my money. I'm going to my house in Oaxaca for the weekend. Let's do the paperwork there.
Terrific. I can fly there Saturday.
That would be wonderful.
She hands him her card.
There's no phone, so here's my caretaker's number.
Jose Ramirez.
And he'll make arrangements for a car to pick you up.
All right. Well, thank you.
And bring your bathing suit. Or don't.
You guys call me 5-6 times a day.
No.
No what?
No, you can't have the weekend off.
How do you do that?
Well, every time you want something from me, you interlock your fingers. Sorry, Jenny. I need you here all weekend. I'm going to Mexico to close Daisy Cellular.
Bill steps into his office and gazes at his reflection in a large marine aquarium.
Your sister's on line one. She's been calling all day.
Hello?
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Marcy.
Bill, you've got to come up here right away. Peter's being blackmailed, and he's...
Oh, slow down. How's Mom?
Mom's fine. Listen, the guy who's blackmailing him's coming to Buzzsaw tomorrow, and Peter talked to him on the phone, and he said he's going to kill him. Please come, just for the day. You've got to come, Bill. Please?
No, I'm sorry, Marcy. I'm very, very busy. I really can't.
But, Bill, you don't understand. I mean, this is real. Anyway, you promised you'd come if I ever needed you. You've got to come. Please?
A silver BMW saloon motors along a quiet stretch of road in the countryside on a sunny day. Bill, who's in his 20s, clean-shaven with slim build, is at the wheel.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Buckenwald. True, but if we make a crossover in Japan, we'll get a topping bid in a day. As soon as the papers are signed. I have to call you back, Mr. Buckenwald. Shit.
A police motorcycle races past, followed by a second. The cop on the second shoots at the first. The first bike is actually being ridden by a curly-haired woman. Bill sees there's a bullet hole on the wing of his car.
Shit.
The woman takes a right to avoid hitting a cop car, then swerves to avoid a pickup truck. Another cop car slams into the pickup. Then the pursuing motorcycle cop hits the car and crashes through a window into a shop.
Marcy, who is the girl on the motorcycle?
Her name's Sally, and she's very nice.
Oh, she's nice? I thought she was being chased by the police.
No, she wasn't being chased by the police. Actually, the cop who was shooting at her was a friend of hers.
Marcy, what kind of a friend shoots at you?
A boyfriend.
Yeah.
A boy raises his hand.
Yes?
I know he will disagree, but I don't like the way Sally is brought into the story.
I don't quite disagree. I must say, my earlier optimism is beginning to waver. Those guys are bothering me.
Just tell your story, and if it's good, they won't bother you anymore.
Marcy looks round at the class critics.
I'm not so sure.
All right,
let's go, let's go.
Bill drives past the crashed cop car.
In the following exercise, listen and learn.
お子さんは元気ですか?
How are the children?
Something always goes wrong, doesn't it?
Jesus!
Keep your hands on the wheel.
Sally with a gun.
What do you want?
Turn off the tape.
The weather?
Turn onto that road.
No thanks.
She points the gun at his head. He glances at her in the rearview mirror.
I don't think you'd shoot me. Here's the deal. I'm gonna pull over at the nearest police station. Then I'm gonna let you out.
You like to gamble? There are only two bullets left, so the odds are in your favor.
She spins the gun's cylinder.
Sayonara.
Okay. Okay, okay.
Turn into that field.
Bill drives across the open field. A steep-sided hillside rises up in the background.
Stop here. Leave the keys.
Oh, can't we find some kind of middle ground here?
Get out.
They get out of the car, then keeping the gun on Bill, Sally gets in the driver's seat.
How far do you think you're gonna get? I'm just gonna walk to the nearest police station.
She steps back out of the car.
Won't you be a little embarrassed walking naked into a police station?
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
I'll count to five.
All right. All right. Taking them off.
He takes his jacket and jumper off, then his tie. He sets about unbuttoning his shirt.
That's ridiculous.
One.
You can't just leave me here in the middle of nowhere naked.
A bit later, and now completely naked, Bill climbs up the bank at the side of the road. He holds someone's mailbox over his groin to cover his embarrassment. A yellow school bus comes around the corner, and all the kids gawp at him as it goes by. The bus takes a left turn. A clapped-out station wagon approaches.
Luckily, this car arrived with two very nice guys in it. Two brothers who live in the woods, and everybody likes them because they're always ready to do favors for people.
The rust bucket station wagon's brakes eventually manage to stop it, and it backs up to Bill. As it does so, the school bus comes back, going the other way, and the kids enjoy the spectacle once again.
Pat. Robbed and my car was stolen.
Hop in.
Yeah, come on.
Bill climbs into the back of the car and they set off.
I gotta go to the police station.
You remember how to get to the police station?
I never drive when they take me there.
Is there any place else you wanna go?
Well, just drop me off the bus stop.
You from Eureka?
No.
Name's Jim. This here's my brother. His name's Jim, too.
How do you do? Bill Campbell.
We were named after different people, though. I was named after Dad. And he was named after our
Grandpa. Grandpa Jim.
Yeah.
Do you guys know where I could get some clothes?
Why?
Because I don't have any on.
The brothers, Jim, hadn't noticed this until he pointed it out. They both gawp at him. Bill looks down uncomfortably.
We don't hardly ever buy clothes. If mine get worn, I just borrow a pair of Jim's here, and vice versa. I need a beer.
Here you go.
Thanks.
There's always field clothes.
Yeah.
Field clothes?
Yeah. This is the season they come out.
Yeah.
And they're free.
They stop by a field where a scarecrow is minding the crops. It's dressed in some incredibly ragged dungarees and the remains of a check shirt. Bill takes the clothes and puts them on. He leaves the scarecrow clutching the mailbox. Back in the car...
Jim here plays the guitar.
Uh-huh.
I know. Wanna hear? We got a tape.
Balding Jim Sr. plays the tape.
Last one?
Yep.
Better make a run. Okay.
Listening, curly-haired Jim Jr. gazes out of the window.
We come back on again in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Jim.
Both Jims look round.
That's my road, right there.
Oh.
They pull off abruptly.
Well, we ain't never been down that road before.
We normally don't go where we haven't already been. That way we don't get lost.
Except once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Smart thinking. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay.
Bill had to walk about a mile to get to the house. A mile barefoot on a road full of sharp little stones. With each step, Bill was thinking of Sally. And you can bet they weren't very nice thoughts.
Sally pulls over in Bill's BMW. As she parks up, clouds of smoke emanate from the engine bay. She gets out and sees the bullet hole.
Damn.
She sees the car is leaking oil, then spots an approaching police cruiser. Alarmed, she leans into the car and takes Bill's wallet out of his jacket, then runs off into the trees at the side of the road. She finds herself outside the residence of the brothers Jim. It's part tumble-down shack and part rubbish tip. Sally takes the cash out of Bill's wallet, then throws the wallet through the window of the shack. The card Julie Holland gave Bill is still in it. The Jims drive up.
Hi, my car broke down back there. Can you give me a lift to the bus depot?
No problem. We just gotta tank up first. Yeah.
The brothers get out of their car and head back to their grotty shack. On the way, Jim Sr. trips over some junk.
Whoa, Jim.
Sally watches, somewhat bemused, as they both fall over on the front step. After a brief roll in the assorted garbage outside, they pick themselves up. They disappear inside.
Now remember that. Fix it in your mind.
Sally steps into the shack and finds the brothers drinking beer and watching TV.
I'm kind of in a hurry. You think you could tank up later?
Dad. Oh, hi. Oh, yeah. It's that girl. Well, yeah, if she's in a hurry, we could take the shortcut through the old lumber road.
Oh, yeah.
They look back at the TV.
That's fine, Beaver, fine. Now then, 4 times 4.
15. Now?
Oh, now. Okay.
They get up and trample over discarded cans on their way out. They don't notice Bill's wallet lying on the floor. They give Sally a lift along a forest track.
I thought this was a shortcut. Where are we?
Don't worry, we just lost the road temporarily.
It's okay. We've been lost in these woods before.
When the stars come out, we'll have a better idea where we are.
Sally doesn't look reassured. They ground the car out on a bump and get stuck.
Okay, that's it. I'll take my chances.
Okay.
Jim Jr. gets out of the car so that Sally can get out. She heads off along the forest track. Jim Jr. prepares to push the car.
You ready, Jim?
Yeah.
Its load lightened, the car clears the bump, and Jim Jr. gets dragged along behind it a short way as he clings to what's left of its rear fender.
Yeah!
He runs after the car.
Today, and Peter has to give him $150,000.
First I want a kiss.
I told Mom she shouldn't marry him. He's evil.
Here's what I want. I want the three of us, you, me, and Peter, to sit down someplace and have a good long talk.
I don't want to talk to a criminal.
Oh, I know it's hard for you adjusting to a new stepfather.
Especially when he's a criminal.
He's not a criminal, Marcy. You just don't like him.
He is a criminal. He is a criminal. He is a criminal.
Oh, are you so stubborn, you little knucklehead?
Why are you dressed like Huckleberry Finn?
Hey, Dudley. How's Dudley? Good boy. Good
good.
Bill rings the police station.
Bussaw police.
Yes, I'd like to report a stolen car, please.
A stolen car? Could you hold, please?
As he holds, his and Marcy's mom, Anne, comes in.
What happened to you?
He was kidnapped and his car was stolen and he was left naked on the side of the road.
Stop telling stories, Marcy.
No, this time it's true, Mom. Yes, this is the stolen car. Well, what's so complicated about a stolen car?
Come on, Dudley.
Well, I'll tell you what to do. Do you have a CP? Great. Call the county police. Ask them if they found a car. It's a silver 1990 BMW 750IL. License plate 2SRI450. Yeah, I'll hold.
He's been like this since yesterday. He's having an affair. This time I'm positive, I think. Remember my friend Mandy from the Junior League? Exact same thing happened with her husband. Late work days, the mysterious hang-ups. You don't know what it's like to answer the phone and hear that awful click again and again. Click, click, click.
Honey, got some business in town.
Monkey business.
Hello, Bill. How nice to see you again.
Hi, Peter. Listen, I need to talk to you when you get a chance, please. It's about Marcy.
Sure, sure. I see. I'll try and make myself available sometime.
Hello? You found it? Where? Excellent. Don't touch anything. I'll be right there.
He looks for his wallet.
Meanwhile, Bill found his car, but not his wallet. And the Bussaw police were no help. In fact, they were kind of weird.
My wallet's gone.
Right. Now, you say she kidnapped you. And then she took your car.
You gotta help me. I've gotta get that wallet back.
Well, see, the problem here is that Sheriff Hawks and his deputy, Mr. Logan, went away for the weekend to Eureka for the annual California State Sheriff's Day Parade. And see, I was hired originally part-time just to do some filing and light typing. Larry here...
It's my first day.
It's his first day as deputy, see? And we said that we would fill in until they got back, but nobody said that there would be a kidnapping.
I haven't even been trained yet.
He's been trained.
You don't understand how important this is. There's a caretaker's phone number in the wallet. If I don't call him by Friday, I've blown a $140 million deal.
The officers exchange a look.
Can you describe the caretaker?
What's with this town? Is there something in the water?
Not that I know of, sir. Nobody said anything about the water. Us, except you, just now.
Sir? You need a new oil pan. I jerry-rigged the patch, but, yeah.
Okay, what are you telling me?
Just that we'll try, sir. Definitely try. But that we really are not equipped to deal with anything dangerous. You know, like a real crime or anything like that.
Exasperated, Bill hides his face in his hands. A red Jaguar XJ saloon pulls up at the lumberyard and Peter steps out. He cocks a pistol, then slips it into his belt. He walks through the yard and finds Matt shaving under a tree.
Hello, Matty.
Matt spins around.
Well, Mayor Vanderhaven. It's a funny name.
Dutch.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. So I guess that you'll be needing a little traveling money. Yeah, $150,000. That's $10,000 for every year I've spent in prison for you, son of a bitch!
There was a witness to this family reunion. Sally, who was trying to find her way through the woods, and who was about to be totally grossed out.
Now, there's no need for threats, Matt.
Just hold it right there.
Oh, come, Matt. I'm not like you. I don't carry a gun. I'm the mayor of Buzzsaw, for Christ's sake.
Peter pulls his gun out as he pretends to give Matt a cigar. The brothers shoot it out and Matt gets hit in the hand. Sally gets splashed with his blood as she hides nearby.
You always were a liar and a cheat! No wonder you became a politician!
And a good one.
Peter conceals a stick.
Matt, now, take it easy.
Asshole!
Matty, don't be childish.
Stay away from me!
You remember when Mom said we'd kill each other someday? She was right!
With both of them out of ammo, Peter swings his stick at Matt, who rushes him. Sally watches as they grapple on the ground. Then Matt gets Peter in a chokehold and begins strangling the life out of him. As Peter dies, Matt sees Sally watching him. She runs for it, and he gets after her. She pulls her gun out and aims it at him.
Stay where you are!
She takes a shot and misses. He rushes her and begins strangling her. She reaches out and grabs a stick. She cracks him over the head with it and gets away. Matt sits up, but his glasses have fallen off. As he scrabbles about for them, Sally makes good her escape until she collides with a tree branch, which puts her out cold. That evening at Peter's house, Bill is on the phone.
Jenny, any luck reaching that caretaker?
No, I'm going crazy. I've called 500 numbers. At this rate, I'm going to be at it all week.
You call all the Jose Rodriguez's within 100 miles south of Oaxaca, and I'll call all the ones to the north.
Lights out, honey. It's already past your bedtime.
Oh, 5 more minutes, Mom.
Sorry. Time's up. Oh, God, Marcy, where did you find this? No. This is going down right now.
But, Mom, I can't sleep without that.
You're just going to have to learn to, dear.
A horror movie poster.
Good night, honey.
Good night, Mom.
Anne turns the lights off and Marcy settles down to sleep. Outside, Matt motors up the drive in Peter's Jaguar. The car's headlights shine through the curtains of Marcy's room, disturbing her. Matt pulls up in front of Marcy's bike, which is in the way. He steps out of the car and pulls a coat on. Inside, Marcy turns over in bed. Matt picks the bike up and his shadow is thrown on Marcy's bedroom wall. She watches the shadow as it hurls the bike to the side of the drive. Another car pulls up behind the Jaguar and Matt's accomplice, Virgil, gets out.
Hey, Matt.
Matt. My name is Peter Vanderhaven. Who are you?
Don't give me that crap, Matt. I figured you'd try and double-cross me.
You got the wrong man, huh? Get off my property or I'll call the police.
Hey, Four Eyes!
I told you that!
Marcy's listening.
That's very good. It's very smart, Virgil.
So, where's the money?
He didn't have it. So I had to kill him.
Son of a bitch! What are we supposed to do now?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do now. I'm gonna go into that house, and I'm gonna become Peter Vanderhaven. And you are gonna lay low. And when the time comes, you're gonna get your 10%. Now get!
Hey, 10%? It's 50-50, man. Who the hell told you your brother was the mayor of Buzzsaw anyway, huh? Who told you?
It was me. I'm the mayor of Buzzsaw, and this is the new deal.
Oh, no! No, Matt! What are you doing? No!
Matt strangles him.
Bill, guess what? Peter's dead and his twin brother killed him and he took his place.
Hold on a minute. Marcy, it's very late and I'm busy. You should be asleep, honey.
And he killed this other guy, too. I saw it on my wall.
You know, I think that you're having a bad dream.
No.
Yes, and you should go to sleep. But... And we'll talk in the morning. It's okay. Go ahead. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. It's okay. Good night.
She goes.
As usual, Bill didn't believe me, and I didn't know what to think. Maybe it was just a bad dream after all.
Matt dumps Virgil's body.
But the next morning, I realized that it wasn't a bad dream at all. There was a murderer in the house, all right.
Matt poses as Peter.
¿Está la casa de José Rodríguez? ¿Está José? No. Gracias.
Come to the dining room, Bill. Breakfast is ready. Marcy!
Hello?
Peter. It's me, Melissa.
This isn't Peter. Just a second. Hello?
Wait, sir. It's that woman who's always hanging up on me. What did she say?
Just, Peter, it's me, Melissa.
Melissa. Huh. I know her name now. Melissa. Melissa the whore.
You okay, Mom?
Oh, that's the second time he's fallen this morning. He must have forgotten there's a step in the bathroom. All this sex is rotting his brain.
Anne finds Matt looking through drawers in the bathroom.
Peter, why are you going through my panties?
I'm looking for a tie.
They're where they always are.
Right, where they always are. Here.
He trips over the step again, then systematically looks through cupboards trying to find the ties. The bullet wound in his left hand is now covered by a bandage. Eventually, he finds the ties.
I thought you hated Aunt Millie's tie.
I changed my mind.
He starts to put it on, then gets distracted by the dog.
Could you call Marcy?
Marcy? Marcy! Hey, Marcy!
Bill, we gotta call the FBI. This is too big for the police.
Marcy, do me a favor. No FBI till I've talked to Peter, all right? Here, why don't you go sit the table? Go ahead. All right, set the table.
Matt comes down the stairs.
Peter, we have to talk about Marcy. I don't think that she's adjusting here.
Maybe we should have her put to sleep.
Bill looks confused. Matt finds Marcy.
The resemblance was incredible. It was Peter, and it wasn't. Matt had a brutal, kind of crazy look in his eyes. I was really scared. But he fascinated me.
Matt sits at the breakfast table and munches a piece of toast as Anne comes in.
That's my seat, Peter.
He moves to the next chair, which is Marcy's and far too small. He moves on round the table, smiling sinisterly.
Matt was a real monster. A murderer with his barracuda smile.
He flashes his not-so-winning smile at Marcy and puts a selection of pills in Matt's breakfast bowl. He makes a not very convincing show of pretending to take one of them and drops it on the floor. Dudley the dog hoovers it up.
Mom, Dudley took the high blood pressure pill.
Anne looks at Matt, who jumps as the phone rings.
It's probably for you. Will you pick up the phone, Peter?
Matt's eyes rove. Reluctantly, he gets up from the table and looks uncertainly around the room for the phone. After a few moments, he locates it under a doll on the windowsill.
Hello?
Hi, Peter. It's me, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Is your wife there? Can we talk?
Yeah, just a second. Melissa.
He holds the phone out to Anne, who takes it.
Hello? That was deliberate.
Bill comes in.
I'm gonna go to the police. I'm gonna try to find this girl.
Okay, what do you want? Do you want a divorce?
No. No, thank you. Excuse me.
Marcy follows Bill out to his car.
Marcy.
Peter's twin brother went into the closet twice instead of the bathroom, and he sat at the wrong seat at the table, and Dudley took the high blood pressure pill.
You remember when you were on your sci-fi kick, Marcy? And you thought that the house in Oakland was a landing spot for those creatures from the planet Arcanon?
It wasn't a landing spot. It was where they came to meet.
Do you know the reason that I never saw the Arknee Space Invaders? You really know the real reason that I never saw them?
Why?
Because I am from the planet Arcanon.
I am Arcanes, and my mission is to tickle Mercy. I am the official Mercy, Arcanes. Mercy, tickle her. I will tickle you until you explode.
Matt drives past.
You see? Killed him. Now he's gonna bury him.
I'll make a deal with you. I'm gonna follow him. If it turns out that he's off to bury his dead brother, I'll give you a nickel. If not, you have to do everything I tell you for the rest of your life.
That worked when I was 6 years old. I'm not 6 years old anymore.
Take it or leave it.
Bill drives off. As Matt motors along in Peter's Jaguar, he opens a storage compartment and finds a hip flask. He shakes it to see if there's anything in it, then unscrews the cap and takes a swig. Bill follows the Jaguar at a discreet distance. Matt takes a road off to the right, but Bill spots Sally standing at a bus stop. He pulls up behind a bus that Sally is about to board and gets out of the car. He yanks her off the bus.
Okay. I just want my wallet back. I just want my wallet!
She breaks free, and he chases after her.
What the hell's going on here?
Slow down.
Hey!
She flees across a road and vaults over a fence. Bill jumps up and looks over the fence. On the other side, Sally has grabbed a baseball bat from two kids in their garden.
Stay away from me.
Just give me back my wallet.
Give me back my bat.
Stay out of this. Look, I'm not a thief. When I found your wallet, I sent it to you in the mail.
You found my wallet? You found my wallet in my pants that you stole from me.
I sent the pants, too.
I'm wearing the pants.
Give him back his bat.
She hits Bill in the gut. The boy grabs his bat.
Okay. Oh, shit. Are you all right?
She runs off.
You're fine.
Matt with Peter's body.
All right, you fat pig. End of the line. You're not so smooth now, are you? Oh. Here. Have a cigar. You know what I'm gonna do? I'll tell you. First, I'm gonna bury you deep in the ground so nobody will ever find you. Then, I'm gonna 86 your family. And then, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go to the bank and I'm gonna take what's mine. What do you say to that? You bastard!
He kicks the corpse and drops his glasses, then treads on them. He picks them up from under his foot and realizes they're completely ruined. He throws them down in a fury, then fumbles his way over to a shovel. He takes his jacket off and tosses it aside, then begins digging. A radio is playing outside the Jim's house. Jim Sr. drains a bottle, then throws it up into the air. He keels over as it comes back down. Jim Jr. comes out of the house armed with both a bottle and a can. He drains the bottle, then plays air guitar along with the radio.
You sure you got the right station?
Yeah!
He headbangs.
Don't sound like Iron Maiden.
Live concert, it sounds different live.
Jim Sr. joins in with the air guitar.
I gotta piss, Jim.
Rocking out, Jim Jr. hurries off into the trees. As Jim Sr. headbangs away in time to the music, Jim Jr. totters into a small clearing and tosses down his can. He's about to take a wee when he notices a squirrel nibbling a nut on a fallen log nearby. He leans towards it.
Get out of here. I'm talking to you. I gotta take a piss and you're not gonna wash me. Get out of here!
The squirrel ignores him.
You queer bushy-tailed rat.
Jim Jr. walks on looking for somewhere to pee and comes to the edge of the lumber yard. He sees Matt busy digging a grave for Peter. Jim approaches and is about to utter a greeting when he gets hit in the face with a couple of shovelfuls of earth and collapses beside Peter's corpse. Without his glasses, myopic Matt climbs out of the grave and grabs hold of Peter's body. He stumbles as he drags it towards the grave. He gets up and mistakenly grabs hold of Jim Jr.'s leg, then drags him into the grave. Jim is so inebriated he puts up no resistance. Matt begins shoveling earth into the grave. Jim holds his hands up in silent protest, then collapses again in a drunken stupor. Sally walks down the hillside towards the lumber yard.
Meanwhile, Sally, who was running away from Bill, didn't know she would again have to face the diabolical Matt Skurns.
Matt looks across the lumber yard and can just about pick out Peter's red Jaguar. Using the handle of his shovel, he feels his way towards it. Sally is attracted by the noise of the shovel on the ground. Matt gets to the car and opens the driver's door. He leans inside the vehicle and finds a pair of glasses in the center console storage compartment. With his head hidden inside the vehicle, Sally approaches Matt.
Excuse me, can you give me a lift?
He swings the shovel at her, then chases her and trips over. Picking himself up, he draws his gun and shoots after her. He misses and keeps running after her. Sally runs, then falls down a steep bank from the yard leading to a road at the bottom where a truck is going by. She picks herself up and runs off down the road. As Bill drives along, his car phone rings.
Hello?
Bill, I'm on two lines. What's the time frame look like?
Good, Mr. Buchenwald. Really good.
Call as soon as the papers are signed.
As Bill rounds a corner, he sees Sally running up ahead. She frantically flags him down and gets into the car.
You gotta believe me. Someone's trying to kill me. Please, he's right outside. Start the car.
I'll start the car if you give me the wallet back. Oh, no, 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 not this time. No, 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 no.
She frantically struggles to get free and pummels him with her fists. She scrambles out of the car and he clings onto her. She turns around and slugs him hard in the face. She gets free and runs for it across a field. Bill gets after her. He catches her up and tackles her to the ground. She elbows him in the gut and gets up. Undeterred, he springs up and grabs her again, then manages to pin her up against a fence.
Where is it?
I don't have it!
I don't believe you.
Search me.
She holds her hands up and turns around, spread-eagled against the fence. Bill begins to frisk her, starting at the ankles. He works his way up her legs and self-consciously pats her backside down.
You make a lousy cop.
She turns around and keeps her hands raised. Bill checks her pockets. She holds her shirt open, revealing a breast pocket in her vest.
You missed a pocket.
There's nothing in there.
How do you know unless you check?
As he looks, she punches him in the face. She runs off. Bill quickly recovers himself, then gets after her. He charges her beside a washing line. They get wrapped in a sheet from the line and tumble down an earth bank, and wrestle wrapped up in the sheet. Sally pulls the sheet off and flails at him with her fists. Bill manages to pin her down and ties her hands behind her back with the washing line.
I'll take you to it if you let me go!
As he sits on her back, tying her hands, she kicks her heels up into his back. He pins her legs down with his hand.
Bastard!
She keeps trying to kick him.
Had enough?
Jim Jr. emerges from the earth at the lumber yard. A bit confused, he looks around.
Jim! Jim!
Jim!
Jim!
Jim!
Is that me or you?
Jim!
Jim! Jim! Jim!
Jim! Jim Sr. arrives.
Jim?
Jim!
You're buried.
I know. Get me out of here. I gotta piss.
Okay.
Jim Sr. starts clawing at the earth with his bare hands.
Just pull me up.
He pulls Jim Jr. out of the hole in the ground. Jr. totters over to some nearby trees to relieve himself. Senior notices Peter's body on the ground.
Who's this? I don't know.
Jim Senior rolls Peter over onto his back. He has an unlit cigar in his mouth.
Name's Jim.
Jim Junior comes over and pokes Peter's face.
He's shit-faced.
Working on this assumption, they carry Peter back to their shack in the woods. They stagger back against the table as they support the weight of the corpse between them.
I know you're drunk, but you gotta help us. You gotta walk it off. No, he don't want that, Jim.
All right, let's go. One foot in front of the other.
What am I supposed to put in front of the other?
I'm talking to him.
As they stagger around the front room, Jim Jr. notices Bill's wallet lying on the ground amongst all the litter.
Jim, what's this? Oh, sorry.
He dropped his wallet.
Look at this. His name is Jose.
Jose Rodriguez. Shit. Here you go, Jose. You hang on to that.
Jim?
Yeah?
Maybe Jose needs a drink. You know, let's go to Jed's.
Jed's costs money.
Well, look at him, Jim. I mean, Jose needs a drink bad. Now, you want to kill him or something?
No.
All right, then.
Okay.
Come on.
Come on, Jose.
Come on.
One foot in front of the other.
Jim Sr. puts the wallet in Peter's pocket.
Get it right. You don't get car sick now, do you?
Turn him over.
Okay. Wait, let me get his legs up.
Pull him in. Jose, don't touch the steering wheel. Ready?
Yeah, got it.
Here we go, Jeds.
They set off for Jeds with Peter laid across the front seat and Jim Jr. hanging out of the window. As they carry Peter into the bar, a couple of drunk women put the jukebox on. The Jims dance over to the counter, jiggling the stiff around between them. The owner, Jed, eyes their approach with alarm.
Three whiskeys.
Hair of the dog.
Jed stares at them.
Hey, lady.
Hi.
Hey.
Who are you?
I like them. Let's go dance, Jim.
Jed makes a call.
Yeah. Hello, Sheriff's Department. Yeah, this is Jed's bar.
He can't dance.
Let's go, Jose.
Come on.
The Jims deposit the body in a booth with a woman who's had one too many.
Okay? He's okay.
My name is Cindy.
The Jims go and dance with the drunk women. Cindy adjusts her blouse to show off more of her ample flesh and looks coquettishly at the blankly staring corpse.
Oh, you don't say much, do you? Stop looking at me like that. You're making me feel funny.
Jim Senior looks round.
Shit, Jim. He's doing all right.
Buzzsaw's two nervous rookie officers arrive.
I don't see anything wrong. Let's go.
No, no. There. In the booth.
Mayor.
There.
Mayor Vanderhaven. I must say I'm a little surprised, sir. Mr. Vanderhaven? Mr. Vanderhaven.
The body slumps sideways and falls out of the booth. The officer crouches down and feels its neck for a pulse.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, God!
We were just talking.
Everybody freeze!
The first officer draws his gun. Everyone freezes except the Jims, who carry on drunkenly dancing. Bill's car makes its way along the track through the woods until it arrives outside the Jim's shack. As he parks up, Sally starts to cry.
Well, here. What's the matter?
My whole life's the matter, that's what. Kind of an inescapable problem, being who I am.
Bill looks awkward.
Don't do that. Don't cry.
I'm not crying. I can't even wipe my eyes.
Okay.
He opens the car door and she steps out. He still has her tied with the clothesline.
Easy.
He holds the loose end of the line like a lead as they make their way into the Jim's shack.
Okay, where is it?
I don't know. I threw it someplace. What's with this crummy wallet anyway?
My contact's phone number is in the wallet, and if I don't reach her by tomorrow in Mexico, I've blown a $140 million deal.
Oh, shit.
All right, if you found a wallet in your house and it didn't belong to you, what would you do?
I think it was a hat, and I'd wear it on my head. You don't know these guys. They're brothers, and they're both named Jim.
The Jims?
You know them?
Oh. Oh, God. Okay, this is gonna be a tough one. So, we have to reorient ourselves. Now put yourself in the other guy's shoes. So, I'm a Jim. My name is Jim. Very, very stupid. I wake up in the morning, and what do?
You bump into things. You chip over your own feet.
After that,
get a beer.
Get a beer. Okay, I've had my beer. Now what?
You have another one.
After that?
Another one.
After I've had all the beer that I can drink.
You have one more.
You're pretty good at this.
I'm thinking like a gym.
He smiles, then steps over to a chest of drawers. He opens the top drawer and Sally grimaces. Bill pokes around in the Jim's underwear drawer with a fork.
Guess that's where they keep the dirty ones.
He crouches down and hears squeaking coming from another drawer.
Alive?
Let me out of here. No!
He opens the drawer, revealing a skunk within it. They flee outside. From amongst the trees, they're watched through binoculars by Matt.
I'm gonna untie your hands. But you have to promise not to beat the shit out of me.
Matt lowers his binoculars. Bill releases Sally's hands but keeps the clothesline tied around her waist. He smiles at her. She draws closer and they regard each other. Then their lips meet in a kiss until Matt takes a shot at them.
It's him.
Matt shoots at them with a shotgun.
What's going on?
We're running and he's shooting.
Matt chases after them. Bill and Sally run down a steep hillside between the trees. They keep losing their footing and fall some of the way. At the bottom of the bank, they pull in close to the hillside out of Matt's view. As Matt prowls above them, Bill's phone rings. Matt stops and listens. Bill fumbles the phone. He leaps on it and answers it.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Buchenwald, I can't talk right now. Yes, I'll call you when the papers are signed.
Matt spotted them and opens fire again. They run on through the trees with Matt hot on their heels. They manage to give him the slip, and he slows to a walk, then stops. Hearing the bird call, he looks around. Sally and Bill stop by a log and sit down beside it.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. It's a nightmare.
Why does everybody who sees you want to shoot at you?
One kissed me.
She smiles at him, and they kiss again. As they smooch, they don't notice a huge grizzly bear walking up on the other side of the log. The bear sits down and looks over at them.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm starved, too.
That wasn't my stomach.
They look off into the trees, then turn around and see the bear.
Don't panic. The worst thing you can do is run.
What should we do then? Curl up and pretend we're a piece of food?
Just do as I say and don't run.
Run!
They run for it with the bear on their heels. The cops bring the Jims into the police station. The two cops remove the Jims' handcuffs, then usher them into the cell, which is right beside their office. The first cop, Darren, locks the cell door, but doesn't notice that the bolt doesn't shoot home properly. The cops go into their office and sit down at their desks beside the barred cell. They both lay their truncheons on their desks and remove their hats, then begin writing.
What'd you do to Jose?
What kind of a world are we living in? Just don't think about it, Larry.
Larry, the second cop, shrugs. Jim Jr. picks up Darren's hat.
One of us is going to have to break the news to the late mayor's widow. You stay here. I'll be.
Darren grabs his hat back from the Jims and marches out. The Jims look over at Larry, making him feel very uncomfortable.
I'll come with you.
Larry grabs his hat and hurries out after Darren. The Jims stare after him.
Guess we're stuck here all night again, Jim. Shit!
Jim Sr. kicks the cell door, it swings open, then closes, and the bolt slams home. They kick it again, but now it's locked fast. Bill and Sally run up to Ann and Peter's house. They race up the front steps and go inside.
Mom! Marcy! If he's touched them, I'll break his spine with my bare hands, I swear to God. Here, stay here and look out the window. If you see anybody coming, yell.
And I'll call the police.
Bill runs upstairs. Sally runs over to her coat rack and takes her jacket off. She tosses it aside and puts on one of the coats from the rack. In the police station, the phone rings.
Who's that?
Probably the wrong number.
Then maybe it's for us.
Jim Jr. reaches through the bars and picks the receiver up, then awkwardly threads it through the bars.
Hello?
I don't have time to explain. We're in great danger. Go to the Vanderhaven house at the end of Seafew Drive. Got that?
Well, yeah.
Who was it?
Wrong number.
Sally hears the door and spins around.
Bill?
She goes over to some stairs leading down to the basement and peers down them. Seeing nothing, she walks back into the hall. As she does so, Matt comes up from the basement and stalks up behind her. Bill hears the commotion as Matt presses Sally down over a table and attempts to wring her neck. Anne and Marcy come in through the front door.
So, we meet at last. Okay, hang up on me now. Hang up on me now! Shame on you!
Just stay right there. Get over there and don't move!
All right. Take it easy.
What are you gonna do after you kill us? Cut us into little pieces?
Everybody shut up!
Okay, kids, quiet down. Your father's angry.
Give me the passbook. The bank passbook.
Here it is, Peter. It was here all the time. All you had to do was ask.
The name's Matt. Matt Skerns.
You got what you want. Your twin's dead.
Yeah, I got what I want. Almost. I did 15 years for a murder he committed. This money's mine! Get in there. Go on. Go on. You, answer the door. Don't say anything or you're dead.
Anne finds the cops on the doorstep.
Mrs. Vanderhaven, I'm very sorry to be the one to have to bring you this very bad news.
She silently mouths, "You have to help me," to the cops.
I regret to inform you that your husband...
Matt appears behind her.
What seems to be the matter?
We just brought you your effects.
Matt pulls Anne back inside and shuts the door. Having handed over the package of effects, the stunned cops go.
So much for the police.
Aren't you going to take one of us hostage? They always take a hostage, just in case something goes wrong.
No hostages.
But you have to. You see, you take one of us hostage, and you lock the rest of us in the basement. Then you go to the bank and get the dough, come back and ice the rest of us, cut us into little pieces, and stuff us in garbage.
Shut up. Shut up, Marcy. How much money are you going to get from the bank, huh? 100,000? 200,000? Why don't you let me make one phone call? You could have $1 million.
Matt keeps his gun on Bill as he goes to the phone.
Campbell's office.
Jenny, I need you to do something for me. Sell all our shares of Atwater Tech, then wire $1 million to the First National Bank of Buzzsaw.
But...
No buts, just do it.
Yes, sir. We don't have any shares in Atwater Tech.
Transfer will take about 15 minutes. So here's the deal. Take me with you to the bank and let everyone else go.
You're not in any position to make deals.
Then shoot me.
Matt seriously considers it.
You're thinking I won't care about my own life once I know that my family's safe. Take a second hostage.
You're thinking I can't watch two hostages at the same time.
Put the other hostage in the trunk.
Shut up, Marcy.
Thanks, kid. Okay, to the basement.
With Sally in the trunk, Matt drives Peter's Jaguar up to the bank with Bill sitting in the passenger seat. He and Bill get out of the car opposite the bank. a woman looks over at Matt.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. This is Vincent.
Piss off.
He marches across the street with Bill and they make their way into the bank, which has a poster of Peter bearing the slogan, Re-elect Vanderhaven on the door. Inside, Matt is again mistaken for Peter.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I thought you were speaking at the Founders Day Festival.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you give the speech for me? There should be $1 million wired here under the name Bill Campbell.
The clerk taps the name Bill Campbell into her computer and it returns no transaction recorded as the result.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. We've had no transaction like that. I don't think we've ever had a transaction like that.
Bill makes a break for it and dives through the window.
Nobody move! All right, then give me what you got.
Okay, it's gonna be all right.
Bill tries to open the Jaguar's trunk.
Get me out of here!
I gotta get some help. I'll be right back.
Hurry!
The gyms.
Twist, no. It's further. You gotta twist it. Come on. Twist, push.
Jim.
Twist, Jim.
Jim.
They manage to get the keys to the cell off the desk and try to unlock the door.
Come on, Jim.
They open the cell as Bill arrives.
Jim.
They lock themselves back in and toss the keys on the floor. Bill sees the gyms.
You. You. Never mind.
Bill grabs a crowbar from beside a fire extinguisher and hurries off with it. The Jims look forlornly over at the keys, which are now out of reach. Jim Jr. leans against the cell door, and it swings open. Delighted, they rush off. Bill returns to the Jaguar with the crowbar. He tries to pry it open.
I'm back!
Hurry!
A hefty plumber sees Bill trying to break into the Jaguar and walks over to him.
Hey, this your car?
Yeah.
This ain't your car.
My father's car.
Matt leaves the bank.
Shit.
Is this your son?
Yeah. Damn.
Matt gets in the Jaguar and speeds off. Bill takes the bewildered plumber's truck and gives chase. The truck's driver's door gets broken off against a lorry as Bill reverses. As Bill races up the road in the truck, Matt sees him closing in his rearview mirror. As their speed increases, Sally gets thrown around in the trunk of the Jaguar. Matt grins and barges Bill in the truck into a rock wall at the side of the road. Up ahead, the road is closed. Matt speeds through a barrier and keeps on going. Bill is not far behind him. Matt is forced to stop by workmen up ahead. He gets rear-ended by Bill in the truck. The impact knocks Matt's glasses off. Darren and Larry come hurtling around the corner in their police car, just as Matt and Bill are coming back the way they came. They force the police car off the road, and it crashes down a bank and lands upside down in a field. A cow is there.
It's gonna charge!
They always charge when they see red!
It's a cow, Larry. It's a cow.
Matt peers myopically through the Jaguar's windscreen as he hurtles up the road. Sally looks out of a hole that's been knocked in the back of the car. As it bumps against Bill's truck, the Jaguar's trunk pops open. And Sally sits up in the back. Bill drives up close to her.
Okay.
I can't.
Here, try again. Give me your hand.
She reaches across to Bill in the open doorway of the truck. Matt searches for his missing glasses as he drives. Sally falls and dangles between the truck and the car, a foot having got caught in the strap of a golf bag in the trunk of the Jaguar.
Jump!
I can't! My foot's caught! My hands are slipping! I'm falling!
I got you!
She's stretched between the two vehicles as they thunder up the road. Matt squints at a road sign but can't read it. It says, Danger, Bridge Out. The strap on the bag breaks and Sally falls into the truck. The Jaguar speeds on through some roadworks and the truck crashes out and lands upside down on its roof. Sally and Bill crawl out of the passenger side door. Oblivious to the danger, Matt is still searching for his glasses.
Gotta be down here somewhere.
He drives relentlessly on.
You all right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's over. Oh.
They kiss.
Don't get it.
Bill reaches into his pocket and pulls out the phone. He opens it up and extends the aerial. It's his boss, Buchenwald.
Bill, you're always one jump ahead, aren't you?
Mr. Buchenwald.
I'll never figure out how you knew Daisy was a dog. Turns out they're totally overextended. Brilliant stall tactics, by the way.
You saved us $140 million. Breakfast meeting tomorrow, 8 o'clock, Riviera Bay Club. We're going for Tectal Industries this time. It may get bloody.
Bill.
I can't make the meeting, Mr. Buchenwald.
What do you mean you can't make the meeting?
Did somebody make you a better offer someplace else?
I'm working on it.
I'll top it! I'll top it! I'll top it!
Bill and Sally kiss. Meanwhile, Matt hurtles on up the road, still fumbling for his glasses. Eventually, his hand lights upon them. He puts them on. And is just in time to see the end of the broken bridge just before he hurtles off it. As he plummets hundreds of feet towards the ground, he looks around, then takes off the glasses and tosses them over his shoulder. He braces himself for the impact.
So Matt joined his twin brother in hell, and Bill and Sally are getting married in a few days. And my mom's a widow, but she's very happy. And that's what I did during my summer vacation.
Marcy smiles at the other kids' applause.
See you tomorrow, children.
The kids gather up their things and hurry off. A boy in dungarees comes over to Marcy.
What about the gyms?
Bill and Sally look at a sign, Welcome to Buzzsaw.
So, what will you do now?
I don't know. Maybe there's an opening in Buzzsaw.
Mayor? A buzzsaw?
Well, that's a question for your orientation.
As they kiss, the gyms drive up beside them.
Hoppy?
Come on.
Sally and Bill get in the back of a clapped-out station wagon. Smiling Jim Jr. turns around to talk to them.
Where are you headed?
Buzzsaw.
Well, we can take you right into town. We just gotta tank up first.
Y'all wanna come tank up with us?
Why not?
Good idea.
All right.
Has by any chance registered to vote?
The gyms don't look at all sure.
Yeah, you gotta go left here, Jim. Left. Okay. Yeah.
Audio description written and recorded by John Walskill for Iuno Media Group. Come on, baby, turn around. Unit production manager Kelly Van Horn. First assistant director David Householter. Second assistant director Linda Brackman. Please don't leave me this anymore. Additional costumes, Van Brouten Ramsey. Associate producer, James Moll. Second assistant director, Brian Stewart. Camera operator, Frederick Smith. Cast of characters, Bill, Matthew Broderick. Matt, Peter, Jeffrey Jones. Sally, Heidi Kling. Jim Jr., John C. Riley. Anne, Marion Mercer. Darren, Larry Hankin. Buchenwald, David Margulies. Marcy, Courtney Peldon. Jim Sr., Michael Monks. Larry, Andy Cossin. Virgil, Mickey Jones. Miss Clayton, Nancy Lenahan. Julius, Noah Craig Andrews. Henry, Ben Diskin. Bob, Adam Wiley. Elliot, John Christian Grass. Priscilla, Bethany Richards. Twin 1, Richard Allison. Twin 2, Darpel Kanitomi. Julie Ariscog. Travis, Robert Burr. Walter, Christopher Grove. Mechanic, Danny Kovacs. Cindy, Sean Sheps. Jed, Blaine Souza. Teller, Molly Stickney. Woman in Bank 1, Marcia Merchant. Woman in Bank 2, Susan Brill. Woman in Bank 3, Eve Child. Man in Bank, Tom McGraw. Utility truck driver, Michael Halton. Jenny, Deborah Goodrich. Driver, William Dean O'Neill. Girl 1, Vivian Steindahl. Little boy, Val Hoag. Little girl, Elizabeth Hoag. Woman on street, Carolyn DeLucia. Highway patrolman, Johnny Vega. Hey Baby, K Paso, written by Augie Mayers, Bill Sheffield. Performed by Texas Tornadoes, courtesy of Reprise Records, by arrangement with Warner Special Products. Filmed at Universal City Studios and on location in Santa Cruz, California, and Los Angeles, California. Copyright 1992, Universal City Studios, Inc. All rights reserved. Country of first production, United States of America. Universal City Studios, Inc. is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. This motion picture has been rated PG by the Classification and Rating Administration.